Chapter 1. We will be here in the book of Ruth for about 12 weeks. It is a rich book. It has been called the greatest piece of literature ever written by some. It's called the Cinderella story of the Bible. It is amazing, the story of Ruth. And we're going to learn a whole bunch about God's grace and about our lives in this series. If you can go through this series and not realize the greatness of God and His grace and how our lives can be so enriched, then you're probably not listening very closely. We're introduced to the family of a man named Elimelech. And he lived during the time of the judges. This is a sad tale of a man who chooses to walk out on the Lord, and he chooses to not accept God's plan for his life. And because he walked out on God, he pays a high price. Now, Elimelech takes his family to a place called Moab. The people there, they worship pagan gods. They were a proud people noted for their lawlessness, their immorality, and brutal violence. They were not good people. They attacked and they opposed Israel at every step of the way. They were seeking to destroy the people of God. During Israel's wanderings in the wilderness for 40 years, they attacked them. They were a people opposed to God and all of His ways. In Psalm 60 verse 8, it says this: Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast my shoe. Philistia shout in triumph because of me. But Moab is my washpot. Once I put my stinky feet in a wash pot, you will not want to have anything to do with that wash pot. Hush. And no one else. It's a terrible thing. So when God calls Moab his wash pot, it's not a good place to be. God says they are nothing, and they'll be reduced to the lowest form of slavery. Yet, they were a people that could have been saved if they had repented. And this is where Elimelech moves his family. He willingly turned his back on the things of God, and he pays a terrible price for it. He was living in a backslidden condition. And that is always an awful condition to be in, even if you don't realize you're there. But there is hope. Let's set the stage a little bit. Where are we talking about? Well, they were living in a time of desperate circumstances. Let's look at the first part of verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. Now, we don't know what a famine really is. There'll be times when we go without water for a while, although this is definitely not one of those times. We got more water we know what to do with, right? But about July and August, we'll start to see and crave and pray for God to send rain. Because if it doesn't rain, the crops don't come up. And if the crops don't come up, then people are going to go hungry if it lasts long enough. There was a famine in the land. A real famine, no rain, no food. But there was something worse that was happening there. There was a moral famine in the land. Look what Judges 21 says. 21 says in verse 25. In those days there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. We have laws that prevents us from doing whatever we want to do. They didn't have laws that prevented it. They could do whatever they wanted to do. Now, to a younger person, that sounds really good. No rules. No laws. That you can do whatever you want to do. Teenagers, if you, kids, you better thank God for the people in your life, the adults, the parents, the grandparents, whatever, in your life that sets rules and boundaries, because you just think that you want everybody, you want to do what you want to do. If everyone did what they wanted to do, everything was right in their own eyes, then guess what? It would be anarchy, chaos. No. The days were marked by lawlessness, idolatry, false religion, theft, drunkenness, all kinds of things that we can't even talk about. Civil war and extreme unbelief in God. And this was happening in Judah, where they were at. Plus, you had a physical famine. Times were dark and bleak there in their lives. The days are not too different today, is it? Now, maybe not a famine, but we certainly have a moral famine going on in our nation. When a man does that which is right in his own eyes, what else should we expect? Dark times and dark days. And God disciplines us because of our backslidden condition. God gives us famine experiences too in our lives, doesn't He? Maybe a financial famine where there's more month than there is money. Maybe a physical famine where health and well-being become elusive and we just can't seem to ever get well. Maybe a spiritual famine where the Lord seems to be very far away. Maybe, you know, an emotional famine where we just can't seem to get our act together. God's intention during those times of our lives is not to drive you away from Him, but to bring you closer to Him. We are going to go through those type of famines in our lives. It's not necessarily because you've done something wrong. It's because that's the way life is. And God uses that to draw us closer to Him. It's not His intention to drive us away. He may be trying to correct you or perfect you. But how you react determines whether it becomes a time of blessing or a time of devastation. When things go wrong in your life, when you reach those times of famine, is He leading you to blessing? Or are you going to determine that you're going to pull away from God and lead to a time of devastation? It was also a time of devastating choices. You got to choose. You got to choose. Am I going to stick with God, or I'm going to try to fix all this stuff in my own way, in our own life? Let's look in the next verses. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. Ephraimites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to the country of Moab and remained there. They chose to leave the land that God had promised, the promised land. They went out of Judah, Jerusalem, and they went out into this land full of those people. They made a conscious decision to leave Bethlehem, Judah, for the country of Moab. They went from God's chosen land for His people to the washpot. Literally, they went to the washpot. Now, the name Bethlehem means house of bread, and the name Judah means praise. They did not live up to their name. They were neither house of bread or praise. Amalek, the name Amalek means my God is king. But he rejected his king. He decided to leave where God wanted him to be and to go someplace to see if he could find a better life somewhere else. He should have known that God was going to take care of his people regardless of what was going on at the time. Can we relate to that? Amalek chose to leave the promised land and head off to a different land where God did not want him. God did not bless him. Can we relate to that? Maybe things didn't go well at church. Maybe a trial arose in life. Maybe they were placed in a financial crisis and placed God after income. Maybe they just came to love the world more and more instead of God. Whatever the reason, they chose to walk out of the promised land of God's blessing and to head off into the world to live their own lives on their own terms. Willingly turned their back upon God and where he wanted them to be. This, my friends, is called backsliding. And I'm afraid more believers are in that shape than we are willing to admit this morning. They chose to live in a polluted land. Going to Moab was against God's commandment. They were told, do not ever go there, especially to live. Yet Amalek chose the forbidden path to Moab over the contentment of the things of the Lord. You know what he left? He left his inheritance. That's the equivalent of denying the faith to them. They chose to leave everything that they had had, their land, everything that they had in Judah, and they chose to leave it so they could go to this foreign land, this terrible land. For Amalek and his family, this move to Moab involved total separation from the things of God. Think about it. They could not worship at the temple. They couldn't bring their offerings. They could keep the feast. They couldn't keep the feast. They were totally isolated from anything that stood for God. They were alone in the world of Moab, in the washpot. There was no going to the temple. There was no worshiping with others because they were by themselves. Amalek, he exposed his family to evils that they should never have been exposed to. Unequally yoked marriages, pagan gods, idol worship, and just the morals of that society was not a great place to raise kids in. You know, when a believer walks away from the Lord, if you were to walk away from the Lord today, you wouldn't really be able to worship him. You really wouldn't be able to receive his blessings. And you can't be right with him as long as you're separated from the things of God. When his house, his word, his work, his worship, and his will are not priorities in your life, it really doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you say. Your life says that you're away from the Lord. Let me tell you something. If you're away from the things of God, if you're put yourself in Moab and you still think that you can worship with God because, you know, I've got a relationship with God, we're good, we're cool. No, you don't. You're not where he wants you to be. You're pretending. It's a dangerous thing to choose the world over the Lord. Because if you walk out on God, you'll find yourself doing things that you never thought you would ever do. Things that you'd say that was impossible. I'll never do this. But when you put yourself in Moab, all of a sudden you find yourself doing those things. It's not visiting. I've been to places that pretty good to visit. But I wouldn't want to live there. There's some places that I think is pretty cool, but I would not want to live there. Not would be a good place. But they didn't choose just to visit. They chose to linger there. Not only they stayed there. The word continued means to exist or become. They didn't just go into Moab, but that Moab got into them as well. They became part of Moab. They stayed for 10 years in that land. They didn't mean to. I'm sure they had all intentions that when the famine was gone, that they'd come back. But they began to see themselves as Moabites rather than Hebrews. They were farther from away from the Lord than they could have ever imagined themselves being. Think about it today. How many folks today that were active and serving in a local New Testament church, this church, that are right now have firmly placed themselves in Moab? Some of these folks actually told me they'd never be doing what they're doing today. Is your heart living in Moab this morning? Now, it may be, and you might not even realize it. You decided that God's plan for your life doesn't suit you. It's not what I want, what God wants for you. Or maybe you're struggling against something He had brought to pass in your life, and you're trying to deal with it. Whatever the reason, you may be away from Him this morning. You may be dwelling in Moab. And you probably never thought that you'd get as far as you have, or that you'd stay as long as you stayed. Here's how this works. Someone gets offended in a church. A little spiritual famine. Maybe that person's always been very active and faithful to the things of God, and now they are offended and leave that church because they felt led to somewhere else. They wander around trying to find a new church home, but they only visit churches on Sunday morning, and after a while they find a church to settle down in, and they join that church, but they only attend on Sunday morning. They can't seem to get back in the habit of attending regularly. Why? They went to Moab, and they liked it. Maybe it happened like this. It got to be a burden to come to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. So you decide to take Wednesday here and there off, and before you knew it, you're missing a Sunday, the evening as well. Then all of a sudden, Sunday morning became too much. And now your attendance at church is just hit and miss. You never intended for that to happen. But you went to Moab. And you liked it. You started to allow the little things in your life that always been out of the question. You'd never do that. Before you knew it, you were doing things you never thought you'd ever do. You began a little word slip. You tolerated things that you never would have tolerated years ago. You indulged the crude speech and wicked humor of your friends. You found yourself living like the lost world around you. You never thought it would happen, but you went to Moab. And you continued there. And you liked it. You need to come back. It's not where God wants you to be. Now, there are folk who attend church regularly. They pay their tithes. They live a clean, good, moral lives. But spiritually, they're in Moab right now. We go to Moab spiritually when we allow our attitude to get bad. When we become critical, quick to find fault in others, but remain blind to the fault in our own hearts. When that happens, we have gone to Moab. When we use our tongues as weapons instead of witnessing tools, we have gone to Moab. When we harbor grudges and ill will toward others, we have gone to Moab. When we let the things of this world, when we let drugs, alcohol, the things of this world become our God in our lives, then we are dwelling in Moab. And it's not where He wants us to be. Does that hurt? Did it make you think that maybe you spent some time there yourself? My goal with this whole series of sermons through the book of Ruth is to help you get out of Moab and back into the house of bread and into the place of praise. To come back. I'm hoping and praying that there will be many on Facebook Live who will hear this, who are dwelling right now in Moab, that they will understand their need to come back home. The place God wants you to be. It was a time of deadly consequences. There's no song you can't do wrong and get by. It's never more evident here in this passage. Let's look in verse 3. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. We'll talk more about that next week. But they took wives of the women of Moab, and the name of one was Orpah, not Oprah. Orpah. And the name of the other, Ruth. Yeah, now we get to the star of this book, right? And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. There was God's discipline in that home. Elimelech was probably already backslidden before he left, before the famine hit. He probably thinking, my life is, boring or whatever, and I want something else in my life, and this opportunity says, well, let's just go. Let's go travel. Let's go resettle some place. Let's start over. No one wakes up one morning and says, let's go to Moab. It's a slow, subtle process. Very seldom do lives get destroyed in one day. Most of the time, it's a matter of slipping slowly away from the will of God. I've seen it happen over and over and again in the lives of Christians. The slipping away. He probably was already slipping away before this. Now I want you to notice something. Elimelech's sons, Mahlon. You know what that word means? Sick. Nothing spiritual about that, just sick. And Chilion means pining or wasting away. I think God was trying to get Elimelech's attention long before he ever left Moab. And so when a backslidden spirit begins to manifest itself in your life, when you start to see yourself sliding away a little bit, God will begin the process of speaking to you in your heart. It may be gently or it may be with a hammer. Sometimes he gets your attention with a hammer, but he'll find a way to reach you and let you know that it is time to come home. There was death in that home, and in spite of his relationship to the Lord, the blessing of God, and the intervention of the Lord in his family, Elimelech decided to move to Moab. What was a reality in his heart became a reality in his life. It's what he wanted. And after he was there for some time, he died. After a while, his sons were taken in death. And this is the ultimate form of discipline in order to get the attention of the rest of the family. I know that sounds tough and it sounds mean, but God's in control of everything. And he got their attention. You see, the famine in Bethlehem was a call to repent. The famine was not just a random thing. God had put that famine on Bethlehem so that they would know to repent. God told them there's going to be a famine. And the only way to get rid of the famine is to repent. And so what did he do? Instead of repenting, he went off to Moab. It caught up with him. If you are his, you cannot run from God. He will discipline your life. And if you do not repent, he'll take you home. That's just the case. And so, three crosses in a wash pot, a Moab. Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws were desolate. I mean, they had no one. Back then, women didn't just go out and get a job. They were totally dependent on their men. There was desolation. There was discouragement. There was defeat with all they had. Because of their choices and sins, all Naomi had to show for her backsliding was 3 tombstones in a wash pot of Moab. That was it. They had, after 10 years, that's all they had. She had 2 daughter-in-laws who were not Hebrews. They were Moabites. See, they married, her Hebrew children married Moabites. That causes some issues. These women were in a desperate condition, a desperate place. Sin never brings anything good in our lives. Never. It may give us pleasure in the short term, but all in the long term, all it can produce is death, defeat, and discouragement. And if you want to destroy your family, if you want to destroy your family, if that's your goal, is to destroy your family, devastate your life, and doom those that you love, just wander off to Moab for a while and stay there. Just do it if that's what you want. Sometimes it's hard not to believe that someone didn't intentionally mess their lives up. So put the things of God last in your life and see how your children treat those things of God when you grow up, when they grow up. Go ahead and do whatever you feel like doing. Just remember that it was your decision to go to Moab when it's time for the punishment. Just remember that you made the decision, and it's the blame and the responsibility falls upon you. And God is going to do His part, and He is going to call you out. He's going to say, come home from Moab. Change your life. It is a time of deliberate changes. Getting out of Moab, you just don't wake up one morning and say, oh, I'm out of Moab. It doesn't happen like that. You have to plan. You have to desire. You have to make a decision to get out of Moab. Naomi heard that the Lord was blessing His people again in Judah. Judah was fine now. There was no more famine. And God was blessing. His chastisement. Well, let me put it like this. In truth, God has never stopped blessing Judah. His chastisement is also His blessing. If He didn't love you, He would not chastise you when you fail. And at the lowest point of Naomi's life, she desired to go home. For some people, I have seen them go so far and so low in life and never desire, have that desire enough to go home, to get their hearts and life right, to make it right. And they keep staying where they're at. They never make a decision that this is far enough. The prodigal son decided that when he was in the pig pen, this is as low as I'm going to get. It's time for me to go home. There's a point in time in our lives when we go and we go to Moab that God is going to put us there and say, come to us and say, it is time to go home, and you can either listen to Him or you can stay the course. And if you stay the course, you'll pay the consequences. It is my plea with you today. If you are living and dwelling in Moab and you think you've reached the lowest point in your life, you better turn around and head back home. It is your only hope. One day, this realization comes to those who wandered from God. Up to that point, they think they're fine. Everything's going well as the world is falling apart around them. And they'll hear the tender voice of the Lord saying, come home. There's bread in my house. There is praise and joy in my house. Come home. And this decision Naomi had to make. Continue to live in your backslidden condition and receive punishments, or repent and come home to the Lord. The Bible says that she arose that she might return from the country of Moab. And wherefore she went out of the place where she was. Naomi rose up and left Moab behind. She did. She made an intentional decision. Are you guilty of going away from God into Moab? Then you need to do what Naomi did. Can you see that it was better back at your father's house? Can you remember the times when the Lord met with your soul in sweet communion? Are you looking back at a time when you were closer to the Lord and you were serving Him more faithfully and fervently than you are now? It is time to come home. It's time to bring that sin, that thing that has taken you to Moab. It is time for you to take that sin, that attitude, that problem, that hurt, and whatever it is, to the altar and let go of that place and get back to the Lord. It is time. It's time to repent of your sins and come home to the Father. It's time for you to leave your Moab behind, to get out of that place, and to get back with the Lord. So Naomi rose up and went her way to return to the land of Judah. She was headed to the land of praise. She was going back to where she should have been all along. She was going home. Do you know that God never saved you so that you could wander off into sin? He saved you so that you might worship Him in spirit and in truth. He saved you so that you might be used of Him for His glory. He saved you so that you might live a life filled with joy, peace, and the glory of God. But that will never be true as long as you choose to remain in Moab. You see, dwelling in Moab will rob you of your peace. It'll rob you of your joy, of your praise, of your usefulness to God. It'll kill anything in you that God can use to help you and to bless you. And if you're here today, you need to return to that place of praise. Come back to the Father today. And when Naomi went into Moab, she went in full. But when she comes out, she came out empty. You realize that? She came out empty. All of her hopes, all of her dreams, and all of her tomorrows were reduced to 3 tombstones and a wash pot called Moab. And when she left that country, she left everything she valued behind. And when you go to Moab, you always leave something behind. She left 3 tombstones. So what will you leave behind? Will you leave your testimony? Will you leave your innocence? Will you leave your health? Will you leave your wealth? Will you leave your family? But you're going to have to get out of Moab. You can't change that fact. What will your journey from God actually cost you? Well, let me tell you, whatever it's going to cost you right now, and I don't know how long you've been living in Moab. I don't know the details about how far away you are from God. But I'll tell you this. Whatever it's going to cost you to get back to God, whatever it is that you have to leave in Moab, will cost less to come home today than it will be if you wait. Now is the time to come back. Don't wait, but now. You'll leave less behind if you come now than if you wait until later. God can salvage more from your life than He can if you linger in that polluted country. Brothers and sisters in Christ in this building, and those who can hear my voice, it is time to come home today. By the way, if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, your Savior, you've never lived in the land of Judah. No. You never lived in, you don't know what it's like to have God as your Lord and your Savior and your Master, as your Father. God is calling you to leave your life. Your life of sin, to leave it behind and come to Him and be saved. If you linger there away from Him and you never come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, it's more than just chastisement. You'll pay the most ridiculous price ever. The most horrific price. And that price is the price of eternity without Christ. You'll be doomed to a true and fiery hell. And you'll never be able to have joy and peace and the love that only God can truly give us in this life and in the next. You will lose your soul to hell if today you choose to stay in that terrible place that you, maybe you're a Moabite, and you want desperately no longer to live there. You want to have the blessings of God in your life and you want to know eternal life with Him. It is a simple matter of asking Him into your heart, into your life. A decision on your part to say, I believe and trust in You. And then you too can live in a land flowing with milk and honey. You know, if you're living there in Moab, for whatever reason, it doesn't have to be that way. God is calling you to be saved. God is calling you to come home. Call on Him today and let Him take care of where you're living today in your life. And He'll guide you and show you how you too can be right with Him. I hope and pray this morning that you're living where God wants you to be living. That you're not living in the land of Moab, the wash pot, the place where no one wants to be except those living in it. As we stand and prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart. I don't know your life. I don't know what God's plan for your life is. But I can assure you, God's plan is not for you to be living in Moab. I know that that's His will for you not to be living there. So if your life, your spiritual life is so far away from God that you're living in a foreign country trying to get away from God, if your life is filled with sin and all the things that are keeping you away from God, it is not where God wants you to be. It is time to come home, get on your knees, get to the altar, and get it right with God and say, Lord, I want to come back home. Would you do that this morning? Would you make that decision to come before you too find tombstones in your motive? So as we sing this morning, will you let the Spirit of God touch your heart, deal with you, and you make decisions based upon that, what He wants you to do? Would you do that as we sing?